If you found this podcast, chances are you're a high achiever and you're successful. But now you're stuck and stressed, and you realize that everything you've created hasn't given you the fulfillment and the joy you thought it would. This is where we discuss the keys of high performance mindset and stepping into the next best version of yourself. Welcome to the Positive Persistence Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Positive Persistence Podcast, where we, my co-host with me today, bring you stories to inspire you and strategies to help you tap into your potential and become your best self. Now, today we are joined by an amazing entrepreneur. Now, in addition to working in a private practice to assist disadvantaged patients in seeking medical and therapeutic care, she also trained resident physicians to bridge mind, body, and medicine as a tool for healthier lives. Now, that experience was a part of the reason she co-founded a company to change first aid products and make them affordable for those in need. Jody Scott, co-founder and CEO of Green Goo Plants with Purpose, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a real treat to be with you.
Well, we are so glad that you are here because we had a chance to talk to you a little bit in depth a couple of weeks ago and realized that you are definitely the perfect person to have on this show so we can tell everybody about your story. But before we get into all of that, let's give our listeners and viewers a little bit of a backdrop, if you will, in your path. So your path blends clinical care, plant-based medicine, and entrepreneurship. And I was hoping that you could share with us just a snapshot of your journey and how and what kind of drew all of that unique fusion of work together, if you will.
Goodness, there's a lot to share there. So, I think it really, if we back up, my sister and I were competitive swimmers and runners. And so we learned at an early age how food and lifestyle impacted performance. Mm-hmm. And, my parents were a little freaked out about it because we started changing our diet very significantly relative to how we operated as a family. We became vegetarians and people go, you don't eat meat, or you're a vegetarian. And we're like, we don't know. We just don't eat meat. We didn't know what we were doing other than, and we didn't have quick resources, right? So we're at the library and we're thumbing through books and so forth. And my parents made us see a nutritionist and then finally said, okay, as long as you're getting good data, will allow you to take this autonomy of changing your lifestyle. And again, we just continue to excel as athletes as a result of really leaning into this. Mm-hmm. And we grew up in the military. My parents, we moved around every 3 months to 3 years. And my mom loved plants. And what she didn't want to do was invest in building a garden and then move a few months later. She would have potted plants. And so every move, we'd be taking these potted plants with us, swatting them while we're in the car, crying to go to the next move. But the plants became our home. We put the plants in and then that created the space where we're like, okay, we're home. She might cook something from the herb garden. We might get a burn and she would grab the aloe plant. And so early on, we started to become very interested in plants. So take that forward, my sister and I, from an educational standpoint, she went biology and outdoor education. And then I went pre-med and psychology, advanced into health psychology, started studying psychoneuroimmunology, and became incredibly passionate about the mind-body medicine relationship and really wanted to change the medical field in not just looking at prescribing, but really looking at the patient from an integrative standpoint before mm-hmm. integrative medicine was a thing. So I was training resident physicians on the biopsychosocial model saying, hey, let's look at them. Let's ask them what their lifestyle is. Let's get to know what they're doing outside of the prescription so that we can further advance their wellness journey and have better results. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, my sister's starting to go to herb school and she's learning the practice of making medicine from plants. So tinctures, supplements, salves. And when she started making the salves, what was really interesting is here we're living a really healthy lifestyle. We've got organic food, we're even natural shampoos. But our first aid cabinet was full of one-time use chemical products. That was the exception because we just assumed anything that we were using for a cut or scrape had to be whatever we call traditional OTC. Mm-hmm. And so she starts making these salves and we start using them. And I'm like, wow, these are great for cuts and scrapes. This is great for pain. This is great for itching. And so the ideas just started to take shape. So we started selling them at the farmer's market thinking, well, let's just kind of, who doesn't love the farmer's market? You know, let's go ahead and get some fresh breads and bring some stuff from our garden.
Right.
And we bring it to the market. And at one point we recognize we have the longest line. And families are sharing just beautiful stories with us. Their son who had eczema will now go to school and he's not embarrassed. Someone who is a big outdoor enthusiast, had a number of injuries using our pain relief product, now is having the recovery that they were looking for and can start doing the things that they were hoping for. They're lifting up their shirts and they're showing us their cuts and scrapes from their weekend adventures.
Yeah.
And I was like, this might be bigger than us. So I started looking at this space more specifically and coming from a data-driven education, looking at consumer behavior and saying, okay, let's get to know the space better. And we found we weren't alone. The natural consumer was willing to abandon their natural ethos because they were told chemical-laden products were the only products that could get the job done. And then even bigger than that was the conventional consumer. Here we are at a place where chronic skin conditions are at an all-time high. But what's available on the OTC market is used for 7 to 10 days. And if symptoms persist, could be toxic, go see your physician. And so they found it just inconvenient that they have to go see their physician and expensive. So I thought, what if we can make a solution that's superior in efficacy first, and then also plant-based and more sustainable? And so that's how Green Goo was born.
What a great story. And you said this, I thought, I've never heard of this. You said your sister went to herb school.
She did.
What is herb school, or where did she go? What is that?
So there are a number of herb schools across the country. She selected one that was in California. So after she graduated from her undergraduate, she actually worked in outdoor education, teaching children to go outside, identify plants. And then through that, she found a certified herbology school where you go and get certified as an herbologist. And then from there, went on to get her certification to be a midwife. Okay. So it was really cool for us to take my Western medicine education, her Eastern medicine, if you will, or she would argue it's really more indigenous, and bringing that together to be able to scale. Because when we first started this, we're growing the herbs in her backyard. And then we're drying them on old screen doors on the front porch, like having them layered up and then taking them through this infusion cycle and then producing them in our kitchen with these custom oils that give you this really rich efficacy. And it was so funny in the early days. At one point, the production was so over the top that we had to take our camping equipment and put it outside of the kitchen where we could cook our food so that we could eat. Because our kitchen was now our production facility.
Yeah.
And that is why Green Goo works. And to this day, that process we've continued to scale. So we continue to bring the raw materials, the plants to our manufacturing facility. We take it through this unique extraction process, yield the highest amount of the medicinal properties, and these custom oils go into these products. So one, you can't get these custom oils anywhere. But two, that's why it contributes to the efficacy, because you're getting that rich botanical profile with not a lot of other ingredients that are interfering with its performance.
Interesting.
So it's like pure can be.
Yeah.
You got it. It's like freshly squeezed orange juice versus, you know, your powdered supplement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's amazing. So you talked about that your business was growing, like taking over your kitchen, and you have scaled your business over the last couple of years, but it always hasn't been going in the right direction, meaning going up, always growing. Can you unpack your story for our listeners and viewers of the major deal that would have accelerated your company's growth, but things took a little bit of a different turn?
Well, in the early days, things were growing leap and bound. I mean, like exponentially. We went from zero doors to 150,000 doors in less than 5 years. So we were doubling our revenue every year. And that period was very much a state of fight or flight and self-learning. We I don't have an MBA. It was business 101. My first buyer meeting, I went into being a military dependent. We were very passionate about bringing these products to the military. They were already taking it out on their deployments. Our portable first aid is just great. It's portable and has a lot of different uses. And I'm in the waiting room and this woman's like, you realize this is the second largest retailer in the world. And I'm like, I don't need to hear this right now. I'm like, I don't. And back up, I was like, okay, Mom and Jen, I got this really cool meeting. Like, we're going to go and take our products to the military. You guys coming with me, right? My mom's like, no way. I'm the graphic designer. I don't do that. And then my sister's like, I'm the herbalist. I formulate. I don't do that. I'm like, did I just draw the short straw? Like, hello. I don't know what I'm doing either. So I go into this meeting and they're like, okay, great. We want to take the brand. We're going to need, you know, we're going to put this on an end cap. We need UPCs. We need to get you connected to EDI. And do you have a sell sheet? And I'm like, I have no idea what she's talking about. So it was learning curves all the time. And then the next thing you know, we're in CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Walmart, Target. I mean, just growing. And, you know, I'd say the first, outside of just being in that fight or flight and growing your team very quickly and trying to always preserve culture and purpose at an incredibly fast rate of growth, then COVID happens. And we are essentially 100% retail, right? Because if you have poison ivy, you go to your local pharmacy and you get the solution that you're looking for. And now no one is going into retailers. And thankfully, a couple months prior, we had started working on our direct-to-consumer model. It's very early stage. But we'd started building sort of the groundwork for it. And it seemed a little like we were hesitant to invest time and effort in that direction because, again, people were going to the stores to get their first aid products. That was the trajectory. And thank goodness we did that because, I mean, that month we thought, oh my goodness, we're going to have to lay off our entire team. Like there's going to be no sales. It's at a screeching halt. And that foundation that we created, plus we had sanitizer in our portfolio. We went from like 5,000X on our website in just about 45 days, in just about the right time that we didn't have to lay everybody off. And we're here shipping sanitizer to first responders and healthcare practitioners combined with the green goo because their hands are so dry and cracked, you know, from having to wash their hands so much and having the sanitizer and so forth. And we were shipping till 3-4 o'clock in the morning sometimes, like our family, because we had to have so many different, even on the manufacturing and the fulfillment side, everyone was having like smaller pods, if you will, in those early days. And so it created a whole nother, like, how do we build a different kind of infrastructure to be able to execute?
How many of you are there at this point, Jody? I know you started with you, your sister, and your mom, but at this point, how many people are involved in your enterprise? And is it all family at this point?
No, at this point now, we've recruited best friends from college that have changed their careers, people in the industry that are seasoned and had really amazing experience. We hired our first international employee. So we were a really diverse team. Now, mind you, my husband left his career, came over to the company. My sister's husband left his career, came over to the company. My dad, the retired general, was, you know, out in the warehouse labeling. And so it had very much, one, we were a family business and are today, but in addition to sort of that friend extension community that we built within the organization. And then we had a lot of people like my in-laws and different folks in times like COVID. They weren't working for the company, but you bet they were out in that warehouse helping us. Exactly.
So how long was this from start to COVID? How many years had the company been solvent at that time?
So really about five solid years is when we did the and closer to six because you've got 2021. So just like boom, 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 all this growth. And then
that's growing pretty really quick fast, for a small business. Mm-hmm. I mean, your growth was fairly exponential in a pretty short period of time, from farmer's market to, you know, COVID.
Second largest retailer
in
the world.
Right.
it was a lot, and learning that. And what we recognized around that 2021 timeframe was that, one, we now have same day shipping, and there was an incredible opportunity to do more on the direct to consumer and the Amazon side that we weren't doing, having been in retail for so long. And it also de-risked your organization. We saw what it meant to be all in one vertical and recognize the importance of diversifying your portfolio. In addition to, we were competing against the largest companies in the world. They not only were very well established, but very well funded. And so for us to continue in what we were doing, we needed to invest more to be able to have that growth. And then we had interest internationally. We had at least 7 countries that were interested in taking on Green Goo. And that's an investment in itself. So we're at that crossroad of, this is not something that you can bootstrap or even have, you know, small angel investors get you there. And you really needed a strategic partner. Bringing someone in who had additional resources outside of financial resources to take you to the next level. So that was a journey in itself of, what does it mean to go to market to find those kinds of partners? Right. And learning that. I mean, there's enough classes in an MBA that teach you quality of earnings and what that process looks like to set you up for that discussion, and then start pitching and so forth for various investors and finding them. And we had a number of interests in strategics and VCs who were in the market already, who were, their portfolio was more concentrated already in the chemical traditional OTC space, and they wanted to have a plant-based bolt-on. And it just didn't feel authentic for the customers that we had acquired. Yeah. I mean, here our DNA, we're B Corp, we're plant-based. We really led the plant-based renaissance. No one knew what plant-based was. The first time I went to a pharmacy buyer and I said, I've got a plant-based first aid, he just about fell out of his seat. He's like, what does this even mean? And now today, of course, we can get plant-based water. You know, I mean, it's a term that's very loosely used. And so our goal was to really find an organization that could provide strategic support, financial support, and also be in alignment from a cultural, purpose, mission-driven perspective, so we could preserve that. And so then, we found an international company. So they had an international footprint, which really much, very much mirrored what we were looking for. They had a strong financial partner who was one of their major founders. So from a financial perspective, there was going to be those financial resources. And they were focused on plant-based disruptive alternatives. So on paper, it was a really great fit. And so we were excited about that transition. And it was not, we weren't selling the company, although on paper it was selling the company, but in spirit, it really was a partnership. So the idea was that we were going to continue to grow together and build this portfolio. So we weren't going anywhere, but then we weren't going to have to find a way to fund the competitive landscape that was necessary.
Sure.
To grow. So how many other companies were you considering when you ended up choosing the one that you did?
We had at least, I mean, I had probably had 50 meetings. I mean, you have a lot of meetings as you're vetting.
So there was a lot of interest.
Absolutely. And there was a number of different directions we could have taken.
Okay.
And so you look at kind of, you want to stay in, you don't want to leave, you want to be a part of it. You also have all of these potential resources and expansions. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of them where that wasn't the case. And so it really checked all the boxes.
Yeah. You can keep the integrity of your product and your company, keep your toe dipped in, but also expand at the same time because they were offering you the stability that you needed and the growth potential.
Absolutely. So, but things took a significant turn, unfortunately. And so one of the founders who was the financial resource was raided by the feds and ultimately faced a number of legal and financial issues. And unfortunately, what that did for the entire organization is it compromised the integrity and the credibility of the organization, which then created the domino effect of not having the financial resources and eventually becoming delisted and running into a number of repercussions as a result. And so I had less than 24 hours to terminate my entire team, including my mom and sister, including best friends who had changed their careers, including my husband, my sister's husband. And so in a very short period of time, people were unemployed and we didn't gain any financial gain in this transaction. And so it was outside of, I mean, here you've been in fight or flight for so very long building a company. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, breaks. And letting go your team, number one, was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Just the tears. Because we had a family-founded company, that culture was in our organization. These people were our family, and they had been there with us through so many challenging moments and so many successful moments. And this was just as much their success as it was ours.
And just to be clear for everybody, when you entered in that partnership, you were all in, meaning everything, money-wise, emotional-wise, all in. And all in. When that fell through, what did that do to, well, what did that do to your bank account? What did that emotionally and monetarily? What happened there?
Well, once we were past the team, and then all of a sudden the reality of what we were facing was we had all invested personally our resources into building that company. Mm-hmm. So there was that. And then we all have no income coming in. And then what are we going to do next? So financially, we're at a screeching halt. I've invested my career, my time into this company. Mm-hmm. And I had a previous company that I also invested those resources into growing this company. So you're looking at like 20 years of business building investment into this company.
It's time to ask yourself, when was the last time you prioritized you? Did you know that research shows that nearly 85% of high performers struggle to maintain a performance mindset while juggling the demands of work and personal life? Those who actively prioritize their performance mindset and personal growth are 30% more likely to achieve their goals in business and life. If you're feeling crippling stress and anxiety, or if you're feeling guilty when you take a moment for yourself, or if you're stuck in the grind and feeling burnt out, you're not alone. Many of us yearn for more, but struggle with the fear of being judged or feeling selfish. And you want to step into the next best version of yourself. That's why I created the Rinse Method, which got me from paraplegic to marathon runner. Backed by science-based proven strategies and now customized for high performers like you. If you're stuck and stressed and want clear steps that you can implement today to move forward, make sure you visit thepositivepersistence.com to download our free Rinse PDF.
So it wasn't possible for you to just remove yourself from this deal and go back to the way you were running the company before. It was all tied together legally and it was messy, right? So there was no just kind of walking it back at this point.
No. Yes. And I think that, you know, authentically, if I were to project an emotion, I think they thought that this was just going to go away. It wasn't going to turn into what it turned into. And it did. And so we were at a crossroad. And then your purpose, like, our purpose was so entangled in building this company. It wasn't mm-hmm. just about selling a product. It was about a movement. It was an impact. It was changing mm-hmm. people's lives. Like yeah. we have Jane Doe number one, who was pulled from the World Trade Center, who reached out to us. And this was the only product that worked for her opioid withdrawal. I mean, these are the kind of stories you wow. get on a regular basis. Now we're no longer producing the product. So you're also getting customers calling and going, where's my product? My paraplegic son, this is the only thing that works for his wound care. And you're mm-hmm. just like, I don't have answers, along with my own personal crisis that I'm dealing mm-hmm. with and going, are we moving? Are we staying? Do I have to start a new career? And mm-hmm. we're sitting at the dinner table and the whole family's sitting there and we're just kind of like, paralysis. And my sister at one point, she goes, well, how much green goo do you have left? And I'm like looking around at my inventory. I'm like, I don't have that much. And my mom's like, me neither. And they're like, what are we going to do? We can't live without this stuff. And yeah. Jen's like, well, we'll just start making it again, right? At least we can just make it for ourselves. And then we just started to laugh for a minute. And we were like, here we are, saying that we can't live without these products. We have emails flooding in from people saying they want the product. What are we doing? Let's fight for it back. Let's see what we can do. And what was interesting about this time frame is when you're building a company, you know, persistence is grit. Persistence is like pushing and showing up and like go, go, go. And persistence in this moment was stop, get clarity, get present, and then you will find the answers. So it was a very different way of interacting with the business. And then when you're in that state of complete worry, financial worry, your future, it's one of the more challenging times to get present, right? Because your mind yeah. is racing.
For sure.
And so, yeah. you know, it was so great. We have a river in town. And I was like, and I cannot stand cold water. Being a competitive swimmer, they would throw us in outdoor pools, like winter swimming would end early and they'd put us in these cold pools with like ice crystals at the top. Oh, and I don't know God. If it was an economic issue and they're just like, okay, time for outdoor swimming. And we're like miserable. Like we'd get in the shower and it would just burn afterwards, like 2 hours of swimming. So from that point on, I'm like, if it's not 94 degrees, count me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in. And so I'm like walking past the river and I'm like, and it's in the wintertime and there's like snow on it. And I'm like, I'm going to cold plunge. People say that you can like get something from this. I need to find economical like ways to get present and challenge myself. So I get my bathing suit. I go and I'm like, I can do hard things. And I'm doing my breathing. And it was horrible. It's still horrible, but I actually crave it now. But it was one of those moments that brought me to my present breath and mm-hmm. pushed me through. I'm like sitting there looking at the horizon going, I can do hard things, do mm-hmm. this deep breathing. And then all of a sudden you're just focused on the breath. And you drop in and you find that like shift in your biology. And then I started doing that more frequently. And then I'd find when I'm in really tough meetings, as I'm trying to negotiate the deal or find mentors to help me understand how I can move through this. And I'm also meeting with investors and bankers because I need resources to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And I would find myself finding my breath, getting myself grounded. And, you know, going on these like long walks that I never gave myself permission to do in that fight or flight mode. Right. And instead I'm like, I need to go get present and like build that muscle, because then when I'm in the boxing ring, that muscle is sharp.
Yeah.
The same way we work out. And I have such a new appreciation for that, that I didn't invest in before. And if there's anything I can share with people listening is mm-hmm. don't wait for the crisis to happen, because you guys, we are going to have a lot more crisis that are going to cross our paths. Yeah. And yeah. I reminded myself, this might not be the hardest thing I ever do. It feels like that today, but it might not be the hardest thing. And so mm-hmm. to continue to invest in getting present, and now it's getting present before the strategy and before making tough decisions and feeling that in my body. And I feel far more in tune with that mind body, and my decisions are sharper. My clarity is there, and I'm making better decisions. And the best part is the halo effect, which is my husband saw the change in me. So then he started doing it. And then my daughter watched us go through very difficult times. And then she started adopting some of those practices. So the other day, I'm watching her frustrated with a math exam or homework that she was working on. And I saw her rub her fingertips together and take a deep breath and just close her eyes. And then she jumped in and did it. And my nephew. Yeah.
Reading by example, giving them tools in their toolkit to deal with that. And yeah, that's, you know, in Ian's rinse method, that is the E, to expect hard things. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right about that, to be prepared to have those tools in your toolkit to deal with those things when they come. So important. I love that you're teaching your kids that, or that you're leading by example.
Yes.
I would love if our youth was more empowered and informed with these resources, because they're the ones with the really great neuroplasticity. They could have this exposure. Yes. Yes. So, yes, an incredibly, incredibly difficult time.
Good.
I want to know what happens next. What happens next?
Yeah. So where is Green Goo now?
So we were successful. It took us about 18 months to get that transaction complete. So we're less than a year into that. From there, working on getting production back up and running. So it took about 3 months. When we say we bet the farm, you know, that's really what it came down to, was the family farm that we live on, was what resources and assets do we have to get this done? And really the community too, in terms of reaching out to our community and saying, like, who do you know that can help me understand what this process is so I can understand how to unravel from this, in addition to finding the financial resources and getting really creative. And they're out there. So it's just about putting yourself out there, even when you're just like, I don't even know how to pick myself up right now.
Yeah.
Getting there and showing up and finding those resources.
Do you have your products all for our listeners? Can they go back online now and do direct ship? How did you kind of rebuild that part of your business?
So we had to start very slow, and we're still in that process. So we started with the Hero product and started working our way into production. So that one went into production first. We got to let our customers know it was available, and then start to slowly. I mean, it is literally like back up to the startup days, and then getting the next one into production and the next one in production. And we're still probably only 50% in production. But yes, you can go to greengoo.com. Mm-hmm. You can go and purchase the products. It is available on Amazon. We are not in the retailers that we were before. You know, when production stopped, that shelf space slowly but surely disappeared. And of course, we can't just go, okay, we're going to go open the floodgates and get, it's not fiscally viable. So we have to just really look at the different tiers and work our way through. But the customers have been amazing. Like yesterday, there was a customer that came back and she was on order number 48, you know, and she has been ordering since 2018. We have people that have been here for a decade and reordering and cheering us on and so grateful that these products are back. And also, even from a, 18 months not having product and going, did they go somewhere else? And to be able to evaluate and discover that we're still their go-to, and that they might have had to use something else, but it didn't make them happy enough. And now they're so grateful to come back to the one that does make them happy. And so it's really special. And the level of gratitude that I have now as a result of losing it and then getting it back is just so immense. So it's like the mountains don't seem so ominous. The mountains are like invitations, like game on, like, thank you. I am so glad I get the opportunity to hike this mountain. It's really special.
Would you say that you have that feeling, that energy, that lens now to look through because of the challenges you were able to overcome.
Absolutely. I mean, those are gifts. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh. So I wrote a book while I was in the unemployment process going, okay, I needed it really more as a cathartic, like place to dump this. Sure. And it felt very much like journaling. And as I'm writing it, that's really what came together was it was almost a gift, an opportunity that one, I wouldn't want to invite, but at the same token, the outcome of what we personally have of not just overcome, but what we've invited into our new way of how we approach things and how we live is just so much richer. And so in so many ways, yes, it was a gift. And I think now I look at those challenges more as opportunities. And as I tell my daughter and husband, instead of going below the line and sort of feeling like a victim in that fight or flight mode all the time, mm-hmm. bring it above the line and get curious and don't judge the situation. Be so open-minded to how you could navigate and how you could be curious and how you can innovate. And it's really more the Einstein method, if you will, bringing it above. And so all of a sudden, the creativity that comes from that is so much greater. And then it's just so much more fun. And yet I'm probably at the most challenging time of my life, economically, financially, from a business perspective, I was like, honey, we are like a startup again, technology. Yeah. And it's not just turning it back on. And all of a sudden it's where it was. It's a different business and it's a different world.
Building it back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just really inviting those opportunities.
We all know that it's easier said than done to be able to step away from the fray, as it were, and look at your challenge that you're going through currently as a teachable moment or something that you can learn from. So if you were to give our listeners and viewers a one or two actionable steps that you use when you find yourself in it, in the situation where the stuff's hitting the fan and things are going sideways.
You need to reframe.
Right. How do you reframe that situation and realize that, okay, number one, I've got this. And number two, I'm going to take something from this.
So when you start spending time getting present and getting grounded, you will identify very quickly when you're having a reaction instead of an intentional decision that is going to serve the situation. Mm-hmm. And so when I feel that, when I'm in a situation, it's time to stop. And if you're working on getting present and working that muscle the same way you work out and you focus on sleep and you eat healthy, you'll know, all right, I just need to go outside for a second, go look at the horizon, take a deep breath. It could be as simple as like looking at a tree and just look at that tree. And every time a thought floods in your mind, you just stop. I mean, 10 seconds is all you need. Just look at that tree and stop thinking. Another really great one is if you go outside and you listen. So listen to the sound that's the furthest away. And every time you want to do something else, nope, you just focus on the sound that's furthest away. Now I want you to start focusing on the sound that's closest. So do that for 10 seconds, do that for 10 seconds, and do that a couple times. All of a sudden, that flood of that fight or flight is gone, and then there's clarity. So it's really just about stopping for a minute. And like my daughter, rub your fingertips together, close your eyes, take a couple deep breaths. And give yourself permission to do that instead of feeling that urgency of like, I've got to deliver this response right here, right now. Now, obviously, in other situations, you may need to. But if you're spending the time outside of the ring, you're able to actually do that in like a half a second because you're like, okay, recognize that feeling. I need to get to clarity so I can address this situation.
So I think that's really productive. It right there. Yeah, recognize the feeling and then gain your clarity to address the situation. Those are really actionable steps that I think our listeners can definitely take away, an easy takeaway. Mm-hmm. That's great. I appreciate that. I'll use that for sure.
There's another one to add to that. It's sort of this labeling exercise where if you're feeling flooded and you're working on building that muscle, you can just take a moment, go to a quiet space and let the thoughts flood in. But instead of processing the thought entirely, just name it, like dog barking, work. Just name it and name it very simply. And when you kind of label it, there's this process of letting it in and then pushing it out. And it also builds that muscle so that when you're in the intense situation, you're able to just kind of name it and then discard it and then be able to get present to address your team, your decision, you know, what have you. And it's, I mean, from a performance standpoint, it's pretty fantastic. And even thinking about it, like as a competitor, swimmer, runner, you know, what have you, when you're starting to feel that fatigue, because your body can do a lot more than you know. And so when you can label it and move it, it doesn't become a part of that like block that is interfering with your ability to push yourself forward.
Yeah. Giving it a name. That's, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Labeling it. Interesting.
Jody, I was hoping that you could share with us and our listeners and our viewers how we can support or engage with your mission and where we can find more information about Green Goo and more information about what you and your company does.
Yeah, and your book as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, the book is still in editing mode. I kind of set it down for a little bit. I edit it like, you know, to that point where you're just like, I need to set it down and then come back to it.
Okay.
Yeah. But it will come out. And then my mom and I actually co-wrote some children's books. So she's in the process of illustrating them right now.
That
very much, they're so fun. And just kind of leaning into some actionable steps that are easily digestible for the littles. And they may not even know what it means in that moment, but my hope is that it will serve them later in time.
Okay.
And my mom being just the creative force that she is. And we started talking about, it would be really great if, I don't want to go outside of us to illustrate this. I think it would be really nice if we did this, but I'm not an artist. And my mom goes, just give me a couple of weeks. Let me see. And next thing you know, she comes back and she's self-taught her watercoloring because I was really hoping for like a watercolor.
Yeah.
And nailed it. Got all the characters. And I was like, and now she's like watercoloring like Christmas cards and paintings for all of us.
It's just like, she's hyper fixated on her new.
Yeah, it just like opened up a new floodgate for her, which is so great. She's so creative.
Yeah, what a great creative pathway. That's, yeah. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so greengoo.com is where you can purchase the products and Amazon. I mean, those are the two places. So thank you for spreading the word. And of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, Jody A. Scott. And I love interacting with our audience, whether it is about use cases for the products or simply how can I help entrepreneurs in their entrepreneurial journey or their wellness journey. I feel we're pretty shy, my mom, sister, and I. And I feel that it is really important to share this story and that these learnings are something that we can offer to others. And if that makes the bruises and the bumps and the scrapes you know, worth it, that we can empower others to live healthier, happier, productive, follow the dreams and wishes that they want to accomplish, then game on. It was all worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Love that's that. That's a great perspective because you went through it and to come out, you know, with that attitude is one healthier for you. You know, it's a great mindset and the way that you got through it is just so impressive and being able to ground yourself and cold plunge. And it's just remarkable. So I just applaud you. And I know that it wasn't easy. So just congratulations on coming out the other side and hopefully, you know, doing it bigger and better this time.
Jody, can you break down for us quickly your hero product? Is that your flagship product?
So the product that is most consumed, I'll say, is our repair product. So this was originally designed to be a burn and scar after sun alternative to like your traditional Moderna. What it has evolved into, though, is an anti-aging product as well. So it's beautiful for reducing wrinkles, puffy eyes, scars, but as well as overexposed sun care and burns, like literal burns and old scars. It's just fantastic. And then actually our customers have shared with us, so we have a dry skin formula, which is our hydrocortisone alternative. This is the one that John Hopkins actually uses in their scleroderma and skin condition department for over a decade. It's wonderful. And our customers just started sharing with us that they have been using the dry skin formula and the repair sort of like interchangeably, meaning that the dry skin really helps with the itch and the hot spots, but the repair has been really calming and then helping with the scars. Because oftentimes with some of these eczema outbreaks, you can have, you know, exposure to the scarring. Now, our number one
for acne as well.
It is. It's fantastic.
So I'm gonna hop on Amazon literally after we get off of the podcast, and I'm going to order. We're going on vacation after sun care. We've got some acne, you know, with teenagers in the house. So I am going to pop on and order ASAP.
There you go. And what you really need is, this is the one that's most distributed. It just doesn't, you just don't use it as fast. And this is the product that everyone knows us for. And that's the Green Goo First Aid.
Yes.
So that is not only for cuts and scrapes, but it is your first aid kit and one little tin. So when you're traveling, you take it with you. It's bug bites, bee stings, poison ivy, cold sores, chafing, ingrown toenails. Like, you will find that once you have it, you're like, how did I live without this? Because you start prescribing, like someone gets a cut or a bee sting, you're like, oh, here's your Green Goo.
Yeah, put the Green Goo on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it takes the sting and the itch out. It slows down the bleeding, speeds up the healing. And that's why the military likes it so much, because you can take this like small little tin and put it with you when you're out in the field and just take care of these things that just make life a little bit more annoying, and you can just get a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, that's perfect. The Green Goo is awesome.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, Jody, thank you so much for joining us today and taking time out of your busy schedule to share your story with us.
Yeah, we love talking
with
you.
Viewers and listeners. And we want to thank our viewers and listeners also for tuning in for this episode. And we'll wrap it up like we always do. And that is, remember to stay positive, stay persistent, and know that mindset is everything. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Positive Persistence family. We're having a great time creating this content, and we truly hope it inspires you to embrace positivity and persistence in your own journey. If this podcast episode inspired you or entertained you, scroll down, hit those stars, and leave a comment or two. Your 5-star reviews and shares encourage us and help us grow the show. So until next time, stay positive, stay persistent, and remember, mindset is everything.